the most beneficial motivation that we can have for spiritual practice is is the heart and the heart and soul of the Kadapa Center. And we have all kinds of names for it, like bodhicitta, awakening mind, the mind of enlightenment, and so forth. But what it boils down to is like it's kind of like winning the lottery. There's this attitude that's so antithetical. It's not how we normally think. We don't think based on pure loving, pure compassion, that we're going to dedicate our spiritual evolution, our quest for to be fully enlightened, or to experience our full human potential, in order to help others. That's not a default mode for our mind. Our mind is usually motivated by self-interest, and so we really have to make an effort to develop this mind. It's not easy. And Geshe-la has said many times, and it is true that this is not particularly Buddhism in general. Most of the main principles, compassion, loving kindness, respect, and so on, are not Buddhist concepts. But, in fact, Buddhism has great methods to develop these and has teachers and practitioners who actually manifest these qualities, and that's a special gift that is helpful for those of us that are trying to develop these attitudes of mind. So we'll start out with just a few minutes of breathing meditation, focusing on the experience of breathing, and you can focus on your heart as you breathe in and out. You can count silently, and I'll count out loud, but just the point is to focus the mind, bring it to one point. So you can breathe in, one, and out, two, in, three, and out, four, in, five, and out, six, seven, and out eight, in nine, and out ten, and the mind has a tendency to wander, but we simply bring it back when we're doing these kinds of practices. And again, today we want to achieve is literally like winning the lottery, developing this most powerful motivation for spiritual practice. The heart and soul of Mahayana Tibetan Buddhism. We want that lottery ticket, but we have to work. We have to set up the causes for it. We have to create the causes for that. And so part of that is develop an equanimous state of mind where we're not squeezing so hard to the friends, the people that we adore and that we consider our friends, and we're not feeling aversion and anger and, you know, all kinds of negativity toward the people that we label as undesirable enemy. And we're not so indifferent toward the strangers, which is the vast majority of people. So there's no way to develop universal compassion without having an equanimous state of mind toward all universal living beings. Good. So we just open our mind to this possibility, and that we can recognize something very powerful and intimate about each other and about all beings, is that everybody wants to be happy. Happy, what is happy? This is what Geshe talked about last week. It's not just the words, may you be happy. It's much more than that. It's a feeling of joy, of inner peace, of tranquility. All of us want that lasting happiness, not just the excitement of a roller coaster ride, but we want something much more profound, deep and lasting. That's the happiness that all of us want, without exception. And all of us want to be free from suffering. And we know what that means. It's everywhere. It's pervasive. And it's not just broken bones and stressed out and depressed. It's much deeper than that. Much more profound than that. It's that we're never, ever, ever, ever satisfied with what we have, and problems just keep coming. It's the human condition. So we all want happiness, and we all want to be free from suffering. Something we know very intimate about each other. The person sitting next to you, the person you dislike, the people you like, all living beings, even in insects, animals, all living beings want to be happy, don't want to suffer. And we're all exactly equal in wanting that. And then we reflect briefly on the fact that biggest problem we have is selfish self-centeredness, this me, me, I, I'm the most important one. And we can see when we reflect that all the negative actions of body, speech, and mind are predicated, they're based on the self-centered mind. Killing, stealing, adultery, lying, slander, harsh, frivolous talk, greed, hatred, ignorance, and 84,000 delusions, they're all based on selfish self-centeredness, our biggest enemy. And it dwells in our heart. It's not out there. And the cause of happiness is the opposite of self-centeredness, which is cherishing others. Cherishing others. Wishing others to be happy and have its causes. And so we can do a brief meditation called, sometimes we call it Tonglen, taking and giving, giving and taking. But basically, imagine somebody that you know is suffering right now, a real person, not just an imaginary one. And think in your mind, you know, compassion is not a thought. We use the word, may you be free of suffering, but that's not compassion. Compassion is that feeling in your heart, that feeling in your heart that literally quivers and wishes to take action to alleviate suffering. And we use the word, may you be free of suffering, but that's not what compassion is. It's an experience that we're looking for. So, think of this person. May you be, and think silently, but may you be free of suffering. And then think, may you have happiness. And happiness. happiness here is not excitement necessarily, although that can give some temporary happiness, but it's much deeper. It's like, may you be free, may you be safe, may you have a happy mind, may you be healthy, may you live with ease. May you have that kind of deep and lasting happiness in your mind. So we think again, may you be free of suffering, and may you live with ease. So we're taking away their suffering. That's compassion. And we're wishing them happiness. That's loving kindness. So we work with that for just a minute with somebody that's clearly suffering. This is about, then we expand the scope of our practice to include all universal living beings. You know, may they have happiness and be free of suffering. And then the attitude that we're aiming for, the lottery ticket that we can get, it's based on this notion that I'm responsible. I take personal responsibility for the happiness, not only of my own happiness, but of all living beings. It's a very magnanimous, really big attitude that not everybody's ready to take that one on. And if you're not, it's okay. But this is the attitude of a true spiritual warrior, a Bodhi, so-called Bodhisattva. Big wish to liberate everybody, not just ourselves. And then bodhicitta is we commit ourselves to developing our potentials, eliminating our faults, becoming what we call enlightened. To the degree that we can make progress in that direction, we aim for supreme enlightenment, supreme happiness, supreme compassion, loving kindness, fully developed potentials, so we can help others. The goal is to help others. The method is to develop our heart and mind. And with that motivation, in our heart, we can listen to Geshe's teachings this morning and go about our day, go about our life, and make it most meaningful. So, we'll bring your attention back in the room.
Turn to page 34, and if you have the white binder, turn to the first page that's titled Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Te ata om ne mane maha mane ye soha te ata om ne mane maha mane ye soha te ata om ne mane maha manaye soha the medicine Buddha stanza and mantra. If you have the white binders on the blue sheet. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to medicine Buddha, lapis light. So let's chant this seven times. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Now the four measurables in English, three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37. And let's chant the two mantras at the bottom of the page. Chenrezig's mantra eight times, and Chenrezig is the embodiment of all the Buddha's great compassion and wisdom. And then Green Tara's mantra seven times, and she's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
What do you say? Mm, Please, would you mind to take maybe 1 minute to introduce to yourself each other? Master Gomboa. Reincarnation. What? Reincarnation of Master Gomboa. Just wake up. Thank you. Please keep talking. It's good for me. It's very good for me. Today's topic. Now we come up with the topics every Sunday, different topics. Okay. So today's topic is like leisure and fortune. Leisure and fortune. So maybe I'll say a few words, then maybe some kind of discussions. So now what Dr. Brown said, you know, while he during the setting of motivation. So it's very true. Being kind to each other. That's most important things. Anything else? That's the most important thing. Anything else? Being kind to each other. So, very, very powerful word. More important than anything else. Anything else. If we manage to be kind to each other, then we don't need religion. We don't need religion. So, so it's very, very important, so being kind to each other. That's most important than anything else. Anything else. Key. It's the key. It's the key for harmonious world, universe, society, community, family, friendship, being kind to each other. And nothing to do with religion. Nothing to do with religion. So, very important. So, what happened? As a human, not as a Buddhist or Christian, as a human, just think about as a human, if you're being kind to one person, what happened? What's the result? If we become mean to one person, what happened? If we become mean to our pet, cat or dog, what happened? It's been said repeatedly, many, many times, not just one time, many, many times, because kindness heals. See, kindness bring all your dream into reality. All your wishes will be fulfilled, the power of kindness. So now you look around, American, Tibetan, Asian, this all, His Holiness said, so much emphasis has been put on secondary levels, differences. Fundamentally, we are all human. We are part of the human society, human family. So that needs to be emphasized all the time, human. What I want, what I'm looking for, happiness. Every second, every moment, minute I open my eyes, I'm looking for happiness. every second, every moment, I'm trying to avoid the slightest cheesecake. slightest cheesecake. So every second, every moment, trying to avoid slightest difficulties. On that base, no differences. Same. You don't have extra reason to be happy. Same. Do we really understand that or not? Does it mean something? Or is it just a word? Does it mean something? That's the foundation for happiness. That's the foundations. Christian, Buddhist, atheist, white, black, yellow, brown. No. Everybody looking for happiness. The bird in your backyard looking for happiness. Squirrel in your backyard looking for happiness. Do we understand that or not? That's a fundamental question. Do we understand? Or do you think that you are the only one who is looking for happiness? Do you really believe that? So that's a fundamental question that we need to ask. Do we really understand? Does it mean something? So many obstacles. So many obstacles, kind of like, how you say, cloud our mind to see that. We are fully capable to protect our peace of mind. We are fully capable, equally, fully capable to develop the deeper understanding of our connection with each other. so many obstacles have, so many obstacles comes so many obstacles occur. Then there cloud our mind. you plan to go to shopping mall, or you go to shopping mall, all of a sudden you get in a fight. Driving together, looking to buy a house. All of a sudden you get fight. Going to very expensive vacation, then you fight there. There are so many obstacles, not just you, for me, so many obstacles. Every day there are so many obstacles. So if we don't think very carefully, that very easily we could destroy our happiness like this, for no reason, for not good reason. So let me say, let me quote one quotation from Shantideva, Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. That text has been taught around 8th centuries by Master Shantideva. Dunga thodde semeja dunga nila ngomba joso. Dunga thodde semeja dunga problem. Dunga. Sometimes they translate into suffering. Suffering. It's more like problem. Dunga is problem. Complications. Complications. Filled with the complications. Everything comes with the complications. No hair comes with the complications. So it's complicated. Having hair is a problem. Not having hair is a problem. No matter what you do, some kind of problems. No matter. Complication. Everything is complication. What is that? That is nature of samsara. That's what it is, nature of samsara. If you really seek of that, what you should do? You should seek liberation. That's what you should do. Seek liberations. There is free of complications. So it's beyond samsara, liberations. So that's probably too hard to think about. You know, maybe how some day-to-day life, yeah. So then there is also a way to minimize day-to-day life complications. What they require? They require profound thinking. That's the only way to go. Profound thinking. Besides that, you know, doing stuff doesn't minimize complications. Doing stuff. See? So we need to understand that. We need to understand that nothing, vacation, going to Machu Picchu all the way to Peru, all of that, don't expect it's going to be perfect. No, it's not going to be perfect. There will be complications. Oh, there will be complications. Need to understand. Make sure it doesn't become shock right from the beginning. There you are fully aware that doesn't bring satisfaction. So you know that very clearly. So then you enjoy as much as you can. In the meanwhile, you have to understand it does not bring satisfactions. Satisfaction is not the result of doing stuff. That's not the result of satisfaction. Satisfaction is not the result of doing stuff. It's the result of profound thinking brings satisfaction. Profound thinking brings satisfaction. Even though you live in mountain, in Himalayan, middle of nowhere, your heart is filled with joy and you satisfy, you content. You could be living in like million-dollar mansions. Zero satisfaction, zero contentment. It happens. You see, it's not just reading the book. You see, people have nice job, nice career. Take their life. Why? Tons of money, good job. Why? All my friends here, including myself, very important. The satisfaction is the result of profound thinking. That's what it is. It's not like the result of doing stuff. Does not mean you should not do stuff. Of course, you should go to the beach, you should listen to music, you should dance. If you know how to dance, I don't know how to dance. So. That is wrong. So you know, the Tibetan dance, you know, so they move their hand very, they are, what do you call it, slip. It's very long, so they somehow, you know, so then they move their body and the hand, the leg and everything so slowly. In the beginning, of course, at the end, it becomes kind of excited and moves very fast. So in my hometown, there's one guy, you know, he's like, I think like mid-70 or getting close to 80. So he take care, we have a small monastery in my village. That's where all the local people go, like similar like church. So he's the caretaker of the Gomba. So then each time when I visit there, so I always give him some money to help him. So then we are chatting, so going around the monastery, not really talking about Dharma, just chatting. And he said, he told me, now it's kind of times like kind of degenerating. Degenerating? Then I said, why? So now he said, just look at the way people dance. I said, what about dance? He said, so now, even in my village, you know, people, they go like, probably like, I'm not sure how they do that. And it's like, in Tibet, that's when you get beaten by, how is it, lice? then you scratch. It's not really dance, and it's like, what do you do like this, dance? That's what we do in Tibet when you get itchy by, you know, lice. So then that's why, you know, you need to do like, you know, like, all that. So anyway, so the perception, that's perception. So that's the, not the point. The point is, like, so in all the, these things, you know, there's a result of your positive karma that you have access to park, access to meat, access to, you know, the all kind of things. Yeah, of course you should enjoy. Why not? You should enjoy. No, you can, yeah, you must enjoy. But, same time, it's very, very important to understand that does not bring satisfaction. You need to understand very clearly. Does not bring satisfaction. Does not mean you know enjoy. Of course, enjoy. But right from the beginning, you need to understand it doesn't bring satisfaction. Satisfaction is the result of profound thinking. That's what it is. Huh? It's not the result of, you know, doing things. If it's the result of doing things, then all every single person in America should be satisfied. What things you don't do? You go to water, so many things that you do in water, we have no clue or no idea how to do. You climb mountains, you jump off the mountains, jump off the airplanes, all kinds of things. You do anything that exists in the planet, that you do all of them pretty much. So they now see it. If they're doing stuff, bring satisfaction, then American people should be the first one to be satisfied, completely satisfied. Look at the super size of the supermarket. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Like, variety of just chocolate. then chips, not just chocolate, chips. Cereal, see, cereal. How many of them can come? Yogurt, yogurt, cheese. Every single item has like probably at least 20 different stuff, 20 different kind. That's good, that's a result of your positive karma. It's nothing wrong, that's a result of your positive karma. Some country has no access to food. But does not bring satisfactions. You could buy, you know, like $1,000, $3,000 leather couch, get some kind of excited, but need to understand that comes with the complication, not just that, does not bring satisfaction. So what brings satisfactions? Being kind to each other, Compassion, you know, compassion. Ninje veni tengundus, ninje veni tengundus. Sunday teachings. Single-pointed meditations makes your mind calm and peaceful. Concentration or single-pointed meditations make your mind calm and peaceful. Wisdom liberates. Not just some kind of belief. No. In order to achieve liberation or freedom from complication problems, what do you need? You need wisdom. You need to use your brain. Analyze. That's how you achieve liberations, not just by, you know, simple kind of like belief or something. No. Need wisdom. So, to make your mind calm, peaceful, what do you need to do? What we need to do? Concentrate. Develop your single-pointed concentrations. Concentrate on one single object. That's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. Wisdom liberates. Sometimes you say, look, you do ninje when you turn good to ninje. That's compassion. Ninje is compassion. All compassion. Tibetan word, ninje, compassion. Turn good, turn means needs. Kun means all. Do means achieve. I did not make this up last night. No, I did not make this up. Who said? Nagarjuna, Indian master Nagarjuna said, how many years ago? Probably 1,000 years ago. Nagarjuna was born when Buddha went to Parinirvana. After 900 years, Nagarjuna was born. So then probably after a couple of years after that, probably he composed this text called Ratnavali. precious garland. Precious garland? The text, you know, if you look at the text, you'll find this. I did not make it up. In that, when the text describes the six professions, practice of six professions, in the last, in the very end, compassion brings all your needs. All your needs will be accomplished due to the power of compassion. Oh. It is like the fire that burn Kanji Mi Shedang Pushin says. Shedang. Oh, Shedang is like anger. Anger is this anger is like a log with the fire. Log with the fire. So log. Did I say the log? Did I pronounce log? Or maybe downtown, like downtown. Did I pronounce downtown? Downtown. So. I used to say downtown, nobody understands. So, then the Prabhupada Dada Brown told me, no, no, it's a downtown, huh? The downtown. So, log with fire, log on fire, that's hatred, anger, that's hatred, anger, oh. So, anyway, not the log with log, as log on fire. No log on fire. Just log. So that's anger. Okay, that symbolizes anger or hatred. Compassion is like fire. Fire. The fire will burn that wood, that log or wood. Change me, Shedang pushing sex. So as I said, you know, like, as Dada Brown said in the beginning of the class, you know, it's not easy. There's nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. Making pizza is not easy. You know, it requires some work. You know, please don't expect something will take automatically. No. Everything, you know, like, it requires some effort. So, beings, as I mentioned begin the class, being kind is very easy. What? Being kind. But practically it's not that easy. Being kind to each other does require some deeper knowledge. Why you have to be kind. Because it brings happiness. That's all. It brings happiness. But then the Dr. Brown said, happiness is not like some kind of excitement. Oh. Because why? Because that's positive thought. That's what is necessary, positive thought. Thus, therefore, this topic, leisure and fortune. So, and that's, you know, like topic is about, according to Buddhism, that's like precious human life. So please, you know, maybe if there are sometimes, so maybe divide the group and talk about. So that's the kind of meditation as a Buddhist you are supposed to do every day when you wake up, to try to find something to be grateful for something to be happy, rather than finding something that makes you miserable. That's not the best way to start your day. So when you wake up, then you focus on precious human life. Where? Here, right here. This is precious. Do I see that? No. Therefore, you need to train. Oh, precious human life, you know. Precious. Why? Look at all the kind people, the all kind of people. You know, for example, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. Look at the kind of people. Kind people. You know, like how many millions of heart can be touched? Not just touched, deeply touched by one individual beings. That person has two eyes, two hands, two legs, same like us. What's different? Because they have profound understanding. How to be happy while you're alive. Oh, how to be happy. Being kind to others, being kind. What you can expect from those people? Nothing. Nothing. They have no money. They have no power. They have no education. They're just lying on the street. That's what they are. What you can expect? Nothing. What you get, but you get something that has no price. There's no price. So it's not like this is written in the book like out of extension. No, no, that happened in our lifetime. It happened in our lifetime. One woman. So these people know exactly how to be happy, or how to be happy, how to be content, how to be happy. They know very well. So, see, unbelievable, you know, like one human beings. Is it because of body? No, because we have same body. Not because of body, because the power of the mind cannot be underestimated because of the power of the mind. Always think something positive. Always. Then slowly, you become kind of familiar. Then even though you encounter some kind of difficulties, you don't lose your positive mindset. You still manage to think something positive. So that's wonderful. If everybody in this room, everybody thinks something positive. Everybody understands, oh, look at Gishigele, he's looking for happiness. Or look at that, Thomas is looking for happiness. The best to become part of that, if not at least restraining, how does it become obstacles for that happiness. Oh. That's all we've been talking, that's all I've been talking about last almost 20 years now, 20 years. I'm not like, thinking, oh, how many people become Buddhists. That's not my goal. My goal is that we all should understand what is most important is kindness, loving kindness, compassion, that guarantee happiness. If you manage to develop, that will guarantee happiness. Sitting on $1,000 couch doesn't guarantee happiness. You know, I know. We all know. Oh, going to vacation, oh, doesn't guarantee happiness. Oh, you go to a very expensive vacation, when you get there, then you fight. So many things could go wrong. So many things could go wrong. And that's very little. You have very little control. So now, probably divide the group. So then, please talk about this. You know, like fortune and leisure. This is like technical term called tarje. Eight freedoms. Then ten richness. That's how the precious human life has been described. That's how the precious human life has been described in Lamrim teachings, based on eight freedom and ten richness. So then, based on that, that's the basis. That's the base to understand that this life is very precious. So that's very important. Okay, so. Yeah, then please divide the group, maybe discuss a little bit. You like the divide group or no? Huh? Yeah, it gives you time to talk. It gives me a break too. Maybe Chuku, like, you can also help the group, maybe someone will help the group, some group. Oh, you can say your prayers.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. So does anyone have anything they want to share from their group, something that stood out or that they think other people might benefit from hearing?
No one wants to do it here. Yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about several things. We talked about precious human life. We talked about happiness and what happiness is, how we define happiness. I think we all agree that everybody truly wants to be happy, without a doubt, you know. Even a terrorist wants to be happy, but it's how we define happiness. That's the problem,
right?
So a terrorist thinks, well, happiness, if I can have the world my way, that will make me happy. And so therefore he does whatever he's going to do to get that happiness, right? And this is kind of how we are. We talked about precious human life, and I mentioned, you know, I really, really love my dog, right, Okami. But I would not want to trade places with my dog. I would not want to trade life, you know, trade lives with my dog. Simply because my dog is so dependent upon other people to find happiness, right? She's waiting for me to come home. She's waiting for a treat. All this kind of stuff makes her happy, right? So I wouldn't not want to. I think it was Don. It might have been Robbie, but I think it was Don. And when I did Discovering Buddhism class, he said he would say, "I'm so grateful that I woke up this morning without pause," you know. You know, so you know, not, that stuck with me. I am so grateful that I have these hands, right? I have these hands that I can shake other people's hands. I have these arms I can embrace someone, right? I'm so grateful that I have this mind that I can actually think about these things and be able to actually think differently and do differently. So it's kind of like what we talked about, right? Did I hit it all? All right, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about my question I had about folks that are sensory personalities that try meditation and try Buddhism, and oh, that didn't work for me. And I'm like, well, what do you say to them? And Don, of course, yes, was like, well, Sharon Salzberg said something, but just do the practice, and the results will they should come. I mean, because the nervous system works certain ways. So, your precious human life, I mean, they were born human, right? So they did something right before, right? So just, you know, do the practice because it's right. And the results, you're going to see them. You're going to feel it. You're going to get the satisfaction because, anyway, that was good. Thank you.
One other thing I thought about is that if somebody offered you $200 million or $1 billion for your life, you wouldn't take it. I don't think. I don't. You know, it's priceless, right? Human life is priceless, but I don't think we all live that way. Like our lives are precious and priceless. And so, you know, when you, in this particular context at a Buddhist center, our human life is precious because we are free from all of these impediments that hold us back, like being demented and not being able to practice because we're in a political situation that would suppress us and so on. And we have all of our faculties, and then we've met the teachings and the teachers, and we have freedoms and endowed, we have time to practice and blah, blah, blah. All these things sound great. You know, it's precious because we can use this life to develop our qualities and eliminate our faults. That's the take-home message, I think. But if we don't have any experience of the teachings, if we've never practiced, this doesn't mean anything. You know, if we just, you hear these words, but you've never done the practice, you've never experienced any relief from your anger or your fear or your depression. You've never done anything to experience the benefits of it, then you wouldn't feel it like you wouldn't feel it as precious. So I think it all comes back to what you were talking about practice. We do the work, we give it a chance, and the Dalai Lama says, don't look at your practice in terms of days or weeks or even months, but look at it like, how am I today, 5 years from, you know, versus a year, day one? I mean, how it takes a long time to benefit, but what else is there to do? I mean, other than just to wallow in our samsaric pleasures, which are fun, but they don't last. They always leave us wanting more.
Looking at it maybe in another way as to why we would consider our life as precious. We were discussing that to the world, not to us, but to the world, why is our life precious? Okay? If we're trying to bring peace and happiness to all sentient beings, I like it like to the rain to a farmer in the Midwest. That's not just rain, it's precious. It grows the crops. The sun grows the crops. If we're evolving towards bodhicitta, if we're evolving towards Buddha, we're precious. We're the rain. We're the sunshine. We're precious to all sentient beings around us. The other idea that we just took a stab at is Donna asked, well, what about a cockroach, a bug? How could they consider themselves to be precious? And I know for me, they became part of my practice because I used to think about stepping on them until I came here and started cleaning the kitchen back there. And then I started giving them names. Although we all found out they'll all answer to the name Fred. But that was precious to me because I'm not looking to step on a piece of sentient life now. I'm looking at it as another life, no different than me. Before it didn't have a name, now it does. So the preciousness, I think, might not only just be how we value, but is our life precious where we are in the world we're in with the contribution we're making? Are we raining down to make the crops grow? Are we putting sunshine on the crops? And that creates our preciousness. Just another way to look at it.
Two questions, so probably I'm going to read next Sunday. I will read every question, so maybe next Sunday. So I just want to share, you know, like the wonderful, result of the discussion. So yeah, see ourselves like rain, sunshine. What Shantideva said, you know, you can read that book. Maybe you don't need to buy, you can probably borrow it. That's in a book. It's called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, to that book. You can read, you don't have to read like begin to eat, you can just read randomly. Me means human. Tibetan called me is human. Tu is a boat. Boat. I say boat. Understand? Okay. But if you don't understand, raise your hand. So there's many people that will help. Me too. This like consider as a boat or sunshine or rain, you know, something important. Me too. La ten ni dunga chuo chile tos. As I said, dungao in Sanskrit was called tuka. Dungao, then, you know, sometimes the way the translation in English is called suffering, you know. So they have said many times, it's very important, suffering in Buddhism does not mean pain. It simply means complications, problem, that's what it means, problems, you know. Dunga chuo. So the complication is like vast lake, big lake. Big lake or creek. So boat. If you see this boat, what you do, you sail. Don't just sit around and think, oh, maybe there'll be another boat, may not be another boat. It's better to sail now. That's what Shantideva said. I just want to share this with you. Me, Tula, Tenele, Dunga Chuo Chele, Tos. Tune, Chile, Yekaves. This boat is not easy to find. Don't just think that, oh, yeah, there'll be another boat. Maybe it's not true. No, it's difficult to find. Tune, Chile, Yekaves. Mombekizu, Ni Ma Los. Ni means no sleep. So that part does not literally mean sleep, but means like if you're overwhelmed by a problem, don't just sit around and to think, become bored. So then I read somewhere, it's not in the Guide to Buddhism, say suffer. The wave, they have said, they use for their own benefit, wave. You know, it's dangerous, but they use for their own benefit. So becoming server, you know, probably you know, is not easy. So I never served, I have no experience, I have zero experience surfing. So I could get my belly on the server boat and just go like, that's pretty much it. So long time ago, we are doing mandala in Winston-Salem. One young guy, you know, he's coming there every single day, sitting all day long. Turns out that he's like professional surfer. Took all the monks. Nobody has any idea what surfer is. He wants to take all the monks to the oceans to surf. So now, you know, yeah, you have wish to surf like him, but that requires practice. So what you do is just sit there, you know, so, and that I didn't go, so that all the other monks, they went with their stomach on the boat. And this event, you know, they went welcome. Just forget about serving, but they're just under the water with the boat. So he's running here and there. You know. So becoming server, seeing your life as a server, or seeing your life as a boat, and seeing your life as a rain, seeing your life as a sunshine, or like that, you know. So, do you see your life as meaningful? Huh? Yeah, so that's what we should think. Think something positive about your life. So when you start to see your life as precious, then you see every life is precious. Every life, regardless. Christian, Buddhist, atheist, you know, every life is precious. You know, every life is precious. What you should care is they are looking for happiness. That's what you should think. Not like, oh, they are Christian, they are Buddhist. No. Why? Doesn't make sense. Why? Why you fight? Why you fight based on your culture, tradition, belief? Why you fight? It means to produce more happiness. It's very unfortunate. It's very, 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 very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. What everybody should think, I'm going to say it again, what everybody should think, what is the most important thing on this planet is being kind to each other. That's all. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all. If you be kind to each other, so then there will be no harmonious atmosphere. Everybody will enjoy. So that's very, very important to understand. Oh, being kind to each other, that's all. Being kind to each other. Migi, sinche panayas. You don't have to look, you have choice, you don't have to look. When you decide to look, someone else, Look at that person honestly, sincerely, with loving kindness, compassion. Why? You get immense benefit. That's why. Based on that one individual, you could learn so much. You could learn patience, you could learn loving kindness, you could learn compassion. You can not just learn, you can practice. That's why. Yes. There's possibility that you may become enlightened based on that person. Simjim is sentient beings, normal beings. Jawal means enlightened beings that we consider something very holy. You know, when you look at, you know, you go like this. When you see somebody, you don't look like this. Or you don't, I don't like the way you look. That's why we do it. Simjiyananda, Jawala, Sanjichuru, Jawala. Your enlightenment is very much dependent on sentient beings, living beings, and enlightened beings, equally. Enlightened beings and the living beings play equally important roles. Make sure that you understand that. Simjiyananda, Jawala, Sanjichuru, Jawala, Jala, Krishings. We respect all the holy beings, all of that. We respect. Chandidava said he don't understand why we don't respect each other. Why we don't respect each other. Chandidava said he don't understand why we don't respect each other. Mutual respect, mutual kindness, compassion, love, this is all good things. It will benefit us. That's why it will benefit you. So see, you are like fruit tree. What do you need? You need water. You need fertilizers. Compassion is that. Compassion is like fertilizer. It's like water. It will nurture the seed, fundamental, according to Buddhism, what we call Buddha natures. Fundamental nature of every living being is something wonderful, something that is beautiful, something good, but it's like covered under the layers of dirt. See, a piece of diamond covered under layers of dirt, you cannot see. Diamond is not there. It is there. It needs to just to discover. Buddha is the fundamental, Sanjigrig, Buddha nature, you know. The fundamental nature of every living being has every living being. In America, how you say, every living being has shot. So
has a shot.
Yeah. Every living being has a shot. That's how you say in America. That's how you say. Has a shot. So I don't know what that means. But that's how you say in America. As I said, America, every living being has equal shot. Shot? Mm. Yeah, shot. Chance or shot, I'm not sure. Is that that's how they say the people in Texas? I'm not sure. Very important. Diamond hidden beneath, that diamond needs to be discovered. See, that's why life is precious. There's a last person. Boat. No, all of that. Okay. So just want to share. And that is also good to say, you know, I am happy. Don't always say I'm not happy. Yeah, of course you can say I'm not happy because my English is not perfect. I could make my life miserable easily. You know? Yeah. Once in a while it's good to say I am happy because of this and this and this and this. There's so many reasons. You need to guide yourself. You need to train yourself. I am happy because of this and that. So, you know, as we discussed last Sunday, what is happiness? Is it a concept? Is it a mindset? Is it an idea? all your stuff. What is happiness? What is happiness? Oh, drinking butter tea is happiness? Hard to say, hard to say. For a Tibetan people, it's happiness, maybe hard to say. No? Yeah, so, you know, we need to guide ourselves on a daily basis. We need to guide ourselves, oh, I am happy. Or maybe do something that makes you feel important and makes you feel that your life is meaningful. As I mentioned last Sunday, my present and my survival is very important, because there's a bunch of bird in my backyard. Birds in backyard. I feed them all the time. I give them water. I clean their water. They take bath. When they take bath, when I look during my prayer, when I see, oh, take their bath, so then I kind of feel good. Oh. But during the daytime, I change the water again. I make sure they get a little cold water. I put some cold water there. So I thought, oh, my life is making somebody's lives. I'm not sure I was here at the Kadamba Center, but I'm definitely at my backyard. You know, so backyard, I see, you know, my bird, they have food all the time. They have food all the time. And they have water all the time. The rabbit comes, then I give them fruit. So when they see when they eat the fruit. So this, you know, one interesting thing I just want to share, because that happened yesterday, while I'm doing my prayer. Each time when I walk around, when I see the one fruit on the ground from my persimmon tree, it makes me kind of like, you know, upset. The fruit, in my mind, is waste. The squirrels, they just take the fruit, they don't eat, they just drop there. I cannot use, he can use it, so I thought that's waste. And I kind of discover my upsetness is coming from the idea of that fruit is waste. So yesterday, I've been walking around, so the rabbit is eating the rabbit. One rabbit is eating. I thought, oh, kind of makes me feel good. So then I realized, okay, maybe the waste to me doesn't mean it's completely waste. But that's what I think, what I believe is completely waste. Now it turns out it's not completely waste, there's somebody else eating. So then there's something to feel good about. So then I realized, oh, maybe this is just an example. There's so many things in life that I think is horrible. May not be horrible. It's just I need to just change my perceptions. You know, so there are so many things that I think is negative. Maybe it's not negative. It could be positive. Who knows? Could be positive, you know. So it's just looking at it from the different angles. So that piece of fruit on the ground, I used to see as a waste. And that's why I get upset. So now, yesterday, perception changed. When I see the rabbit eating that, that's, oh, in my mind, I should be careful. In my mind, when I see the waste, does not mean waste. It could mean, you know, maybe like, hallucination. anyway, so I'm going to stop here. So, sorry. So time is over now. So then see you next Sunday.
Turn to page 246. And if you have the white binder, just turn to the back of that sheet that says Kadamba Center Prayers, and we'll read the dedication from Master Shantideva, 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by suffering of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. I'll turn to page 244 and 245, and we'll read the short long life prayers. First, the one for His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, You are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. And then on the facing page, the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And then back on the other side. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjudas victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, save for myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then seven green Taurus mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sangbo's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful weekend.
Just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, I hope you all enjoyed this morning. I'm sure you did. We're continuing, in, as Geshe-la has been doing for many, many years on Sunday mornings, teaching us about making our minds happy and our lives meaningful. And we're beginning today with doing this in the, within the structure of a great text that has a lot of tips on how to be happy, and that is the 7-point mind training by Geshe Kekkwa. So we're going to be, Geshe-la is going to be teaching within the context of that text, and we're going to have a book available if anybody wants to just be referring to that book. So I hope you will be enjoying that. I also need to make an announcement on behalf of the family program. And as you know, that the family program runs for the children at the same time that Geshe-la is teaching here in the Gampa. And I'm making the announcement on behalf of the program because the leadership in that program is in the other rooms teaching our children. So they're inviting you, if you like kids and are looking for a way to share your joy for the Dharma and help build a strong family community, the family program is inviting you to join our volunteers. Our next sort of formal session begins September 2nd and will run until Thanksgiving. And each volunteer who participates as a leader in these classes commits to 3 Sundays during those months. So it's not a real heavy commitment. And there's going to be a kickoff meeting in 2 weeks at 5:30 on that Sunday. And you'll learn all about the curriculum and how to be involved as either a classroom leader or classroom assistant. So they also provided it. You might have seen on one of the sheets this morning this little FAQ on how to what's involved in helping with the family program. So that'll give you a few answers, and also how to contact Christy or anybody else in the program if you're interested in helping with the Sunday morning family program. And then Elise has a quick announcement.
I'm Elisa, the outreach program, and we have an eyeglass drive occurring that's going to be only one more Sunday to bring your used old prescription eyeglasses in. They were going to be distributed to patients for free at a free healthcare day that's going to happen in October. And last year, they were able to fit over 45 people with donated eyeglasses matching them. So your contribution really makes a difference. And then the love notes, we've delivered almost 2,000 love notes to people that receive Meals on Wheels. Thank you. Rejoice in your merit, because every note has fed the heart and soul of some lonely person whose only contact with the outside world is a meal being brought to their door. So thank you. And we're doing a final sweep. If you have some at home, please bring them in by next Sunday, and we'll get them delivered as well. And then some coming attractions. Outreach program is going to team with the Children and Family program for Adopt the Stream. That'll be coming up, so watch for announcements. And we're going to have a next interfaith prayer service in the first Sunday in October, and the theme is Blessings of the Earth. So watch for details. Thank you.
And more. There's more. There's always more. I forgot. This is the first Sunday of the month, which means we have our orientation for newcomers who want to, you know, Q&A. Julie, can you stand up so people know who to search down? And she'll be meeting with you in the back of the Gompa when we all clear out. And then Family Dharma Camp is coming up shortly, and the registration closes tomorrow. So get your registration in. Yeah, they need to know how many people are coming so they can plan for you.